Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, restaurants and cafes across the country have come under increasing pressure in recent months, with several high-profile closures announced recently, including two restaurants run by Dylan McGrath and also the popular Yukio restaurant on Dublin's Exchequer Street. So what is behind these closures? And with the budget coming up, are there support measures which could make the critical difference to keeping the doors open? Well, I'm joined to discuss this now by three people who are working in the sector, from the Yellow Pepper restaurant in Letterkenny in Donegal. Carol Meenan is with us from the Artisan Cafe in Bray in County Wicklow. We're joined by Chef Paul Sharkey. And from Hugo's Restaurant in Dublin, we're joined by the owner, Gina Murphy. And you're all welcome. And I'm going to ask you now to cast your minds back to just 5 years ago. The world, if we can imagine it, before COVID and before Ukraine. Carol, I'll start with you. What has changed for your business since that time?
Good morning, Claire. Oh, a lot has changed. Oh, my goodness, when you think back to that. I suppose I don't need to start talking about how much increases we've had in electricity, in wages, in all utilities, all food costs. Everything has been different. And I suppose COVID too has still had a big effect. Even today, over the weekend, two people said to me in the restaurant, you know, we don't go out as much since COVID, maybe just an odd time anymore. Our whole life has changed. Mm-hmm. So there's all those things are still having an impact, as well as all those rising costs, which is... we all know about it in our shopping bags as well as in restaurants.
And, everything looks a little different. And Paul, when you think about that question, what has changed in your business over the past 5 years? Paul, can you hear me? Oh, sorry,
yes,
Paul. I thought you were gone there, but you're there with us.
No.
Just when you think about the food business, the catering business, and you look back 5 years ago, has it changed an awful lot?
Oh, massively. Absolutely, massively. I mean, footfall has kind of dropped off hugely. And again, with rising costs, again, with ESB, gas, rates going up, products going up, it's just getting tougher and tougher.
Mm-hmm.
And as you said, like Dylan McGrath closing two of his restaurants, he would have been one of the people I thought would have survived.
Yeah, but you know what we hear is that the higher end really is suffering. And Gina, this is where I bring you in, because when we talk about what looks different now to 5 years ago, I'm sure you're at the raw end of that, right, where you are in the centre of Dublin.
Yes, we've had an awful pummeling up here, I'm afraid. I mean, I could give you my figures, Claire. I wrote to every sitting TD in February this year and I gave them all my figures and I gave them the stats and I gave them turnover and costs of doing business and how we were, you know, we were facing a really a huge crisis that would have far-reaching consequences. And I wrote to them saying this would lead to the collapse of countless local businesses. And that was in February this year. And I feel like nobody has listened to us. I mean, our footfall is down 31% from 5 years ago. Year on year, we're 15% down covers-wise, based on January to August of last year compared to January to August this year. You know, everybody's costs have increased. And so with everybody's costs going up, it means our suppliers' costs have gone up, our producers' costs have gone up, and those price increases have transferred over to us, which we then have to pass on because our margins are so tight in the food business.
Yeah,
they really are.
We can see where the gap is. You know, if your footfall and your covers are down and your costs are up, then we have a problem. Carol, I want to come back to you because I know you have been in business for a long time. Does that shield you, do you think, against the current headwinds?
Oh, yeah. We're celebrating 30 years in business and, you know, it's very exciting and we're, you know, thinking this is a great achievement. But when you hear what happened with 20 years for Dylan McGrath and other people, you're just wondering, you know, what's ahead of us if the government don't start listening to the shouting that we've all been doing. It's incredible. Now, we haven't suffered as much. We're very flat and it's probably just a little bit down. But we've seen a slight difference in tourism figures for the summer. And that's a bit different for us that we normally, we have a Americans coming up to Donegal this year. And it's been, you know, that's really shouldered us through this bit. And then I suppose the worrying thing then is what's going to happen in the wintertime. So we're very aware of that, but very grateful for this, you know, the big lift for Donegal tourism. And the great golf courses that we've up here has attracted a very different tourist that we've not had previously.
Well, maybe,
and I think that's why we've been able to shoulder this a little bit this summer.
And maybe you can understand then how hard it is for younger businesses, if I can put it that way. You know, you've been there for 30 years, you're very established. You know, you probably don't have some of the costs that the businesses starting out have to deal with.
Absolutely. We don't have that. There's a postman coming, so I just walk away from
the dog.
The dogs are barking.
You've a good dog there, Carol.
Yes. Absolutely. We just wonder how people are ever going to open a business. That's because even the cost of putting a kitchen together now is very difficult. Mm-hmm. You can imagine doing that. It's just incredibly, incredibly difficult to get into business.
Yeah, and Paul, I want to talk to you about that as well, and in particular staff costs, because we have heard from restaurant owners, from bar owners, right across the hospitality industry, that is a really big problem now, finding the staff, paying the staff and convincing them to stay.
Well, that's it, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, since COVID happened, like, there's been a huge shortage in staff, especially chefs, and with minimum wage going up, and again all the extra costs involved, it's tough. It's really, really tough to run a business when you're short on staff, when you can't get experienced staff. We're getting a lot of college kids, and I'm not blaming them. It's not their fault. No experience, but you know, when you're running a business, you need a little bit of experience. And we take on people with no experience. We train them. And they work out doing really, really well. But again, it's the cost involved, like with minimum wage going up. And then we have people coming in looking for silly money, which we can't afford because of all the rising costs. We can't take them on.
And tell me, why do you think it's so hard to find chefs at the moment?
I just don't think people want to do this job anymore.
Because of the hours?
I think COVID gives them too much time to think. It does involve long hours. So I've been doing it 30 years. As I'm sure the other guys have as well. And it is tough, don't get me wrong, it's tough, but I love doing it. It's what I love doing. Mm-hmm. But again, it's not for everybody. And the long hours and the pay, I think people had too much time to think, look, okay, I'm not doing this job anymore.
So some people might have said, there's an easier life out there for me.
Yeah, pretty much. I know a lot of chefs that I know have moved to Australia. And they're having a great life over there.
Right. They might still be working long hours, but at least the sun shines when they're off.
Well, this is it. Absolutely.
Gina, on staff costs, there was a rise to the minimum wage. I'm sure that has had an impact. What has that been like for your business?
Well, to be honest, like, I have 27 full-time staff here. I had only one person on minimum wage who was a junior trainee. You know, like, we pool all the tips here as well between the guys, so that's on top of. But the one person getting a pay rise actually affected a pay rise for 24. So because they suddenly overtook the person on the next step, so you had to put them up, and they overtook the person on the next step and the next step. So it was an upward domino effect.
Yes.
So a 12.4% increase on minimum wage for one person actually added over 97,000 to the payroll costs here for the year. So it's not just one person getting a pay rise of a euro or a euro 40. It's very different, and the knock-on effect is huge. What I would say about the lack of staff in the industry, I think it's not about, for a lot of people, like, the average age in my place pre-COVID was 44. Okay, and that was across the board, front and back of the house. With COVID, you know, these people are professionals and career professionals, and everybody was given 350 euros a week to step down and not work. It's not enough to survive on if you're the family, you know, the lead family member, and you're paying a mortgage or paying a car. So a lot of people left the industry because they couldn't afford not to. Do you understand? So when they left the industry, they changed their lives and they changed their livelihoods. And yes, it is hard to get back into working nights and weekends again if you get out of the rhythm of it. But it's not that it's a bad industry. I mean, we're very regulated with the Working Time Act and hours worked. And like I said, there was only one person here on minimum wage. The wages here, you have to pay good wages in the city centre because the rents are so high. People have to be able to live. So, you know, the myth of everybody being on minimum wage also needs to be a little bit dispelled.
Yeah, but there is that knock-on effect, so it does have an impact.
Well, the knock-on
when it goes
effect
up.
Was that 23 people who were not on minimum wage and were on all different levels, you know, hourly rates and salaries, they all had to get a pay rise because of the one person on minimum wage going up. So that just needs to be understood a little better, I think.
Okay.
But I mean, the biggest thing is just the costs are impossible. The rise in the VAT, it's a 50% increase in what we were paying. So I know everybody says, oh, it's 9% going to 13.5%. It's only 4.5%. That 4.5% is a 50% increase of nine. So it's huge. It has a huge economic effect to the bottom line of every restaurant.
Okay, and Paul, for you as well, the VAT is a big issue, is it?
It's massive. It's had a really big effect on us. I mean, we're only just open over 2 years, and you know we've seen it's crazy. I mean, the government needs to do the right thing now and bring the VAT rate back down to 9%. I mean, I know there's a big push on the VAT 9 campaign online to get it down. But yeah, it's massive. It's just massive, and it's having a really, it's really impacted our business.
Okay,
because we had to close the restaurant part of the business down for the cafe to survive.
The evening part.
Yeah.
Okay.
We closed it back in January.
All right, listen, I'm going to let you go now. Thank you to the three of you, to Gina Murphy, Carol Meenan and Paul Sharkey. But before I finish, I want to bring you this statement from the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, because we asked them about the issues raised by our restaurant owners. And they sent us a lengthy statement. Some of it reads that the budget last year set aside $257 million for the increased cost of business grant scheme, giving grants of $5,000 and a double payment, a further $5,000, to businesses in hospitality, retail and beauty sectors, 81,000 businesses registered for that, and €218 million has been paid out under that scheme. They said in July they launched the National Enterprise Hub to help businesses navigate over 180 different supports from across 19 departments and agencies. They also point to a microfinancing scheme, doubling its lending limit from 25 to 50,000. And they also stated that the VAT rate, that's a matter for the Department of Finance, and no doubt that will be a topic which will be discussed in great detail before we get to Budget Day on the 1st of October. Coming up next, we're going to get advice on how best to return your sleep routine to what it was after the summer break. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.